Please turn with me to the fourth chapter of the Gospel of Luke, the fourth chapter of the Gospel of Luke, and immediately, please, I'd like us just to bow for a brief word of prayer. O God, our Heavenly Father, I ask Thee for Thy help now in the preaching of Thy precious word. We cannot hope to handle the word of God as it ought to be handled without Thy help. O Spirit of the living God, fall afresh upon us. And let there be a word for each one here today, a profitable word, a challenging word, a blessed word. For Jesus' sake, amen. Amen. My text, well, it's found there toward the end of this chapter, the verse 42. And when it was day, he departed and went into a desert place, and the people sought him and came unto him and stayed him, that he should not depart from them. I want to speak today in the will of the Lord upon the subject of detaining Christ in our midst. The Lord Jesus was an itinerant preacher. That is, he moved from place to place. The movement of Christ from village to village presents us with useful instruction regarding the presence of God amongst his people. Now, the Lord Jesus, being God, is omnipresent. He is everywhere. He is with us here in Bristol, and he is with the folks at home in Kilskerry and on the other side of the world, where there may not yet be Sabbath services commenced, but when they do commence, where his faithful people gather, the Lord will be there. He is everywhere at once. But it pleases him to manifest himself in a special way amongst his people at different seasons and in different places. We have read this morning of him being in Nazareth. Now, when he was in Nazareth, he wasn't in Capernaum. And we read of him withdrawing from Nazareth because of their attitude, and he went then to Capernaum. And now he's in Capernaum, for it is the people of Capernaum that we are talking about in our text. But while he was in Capernaum, he wasn't in Nazareth. So that in the itinerancy of the Savior, we have an example and a wonderful setting forth of that truth, in which God, at different seasons, in different places, manifests himself. That's what revival is. That's what revival is. A manifesting of God amongst his people in a very special way. I'm sure we would all wish just such a visit were to take place amongst us again, and that the Lord, as he came to Capernaum, would come amongst us. There's a great difference in the reception given to the Lord Jesus in Nazareth and in Capernaum. In Nazareth, he aroused great anger by his preaching, resulting in an attempt to kill him by casting him over a cliff. Verse 29, it's a thing that surely you and I must find amazing, that the preaching of the Lord Jesus Christ should annoy people, and annoy them to the degree they were ready to kill him. We may find this astonishing, but in truth we should not. In truth we should not. Listen, brethren and sisters, God's word still annoys people. It still angers people. And across the world, at this very moment, there's many a person and many a group of people, and they're simmering with annoyance at some aspect of God's word. God save us from being angry with God's word, and give us grace to submit ourselves to his word. Well, the Savior will not stay where there are people angry with him, and he left Nazareth and came to Capernaum. And you know, in a simple fashion, you and I are either from Nazareth or we're from Capernaum. We are people who ignore, or worse, reject the Word of God, or we are a people who embrace it. And in this instance, it seems as if the people were most anxious that the Saviour not leave them. They sought to detain the Saviour amongst them. May God give us appetite today that causes us to lay hold of the garments of the Saviour and say, like Jacob of old, I will not let thee go. I will not let thee go. God loves that. God loves that. The Lord loves a people who are anxious and ready to do anything to hold on to Him. I want to think about that today. And observe, first of all, with you, the marks of a day of visitation. What was it like in Capernaum when the Saviour visited them? And as we look at what it was like in Capernaum at that time when the Saviour visited them, well, perhaps we can then apply those truths and think of the area around here and what an impact it would have on it if the Saviour were to come here and show forth the same wonderful works. The first thing that is to be observed regarding the blessings that descended upon Capernaum in that time when the Saviour came is the fact that the Word of God was preached with power. It was preached with power. That was the first mark that indicated that a special day had dawned. And let me tell you, you should notice that it was a day. For all that you read of in the passage regarding the Lord's visit to Capernaum took place in a day. One day! One day. And what a change came to Capernaum in that one day. The first thing is, as I've already said, heaven had come down amongst them. Or perhaps I should use the terms that the Lord Jesus later used. You can see it in chapter 10, the verse 15. Capernaum was exalted to heaven. That's what happens in a day of revival. Capernaum was lifted up to heaven. Transferred from earth, as it were, into the realms, the environment, the atmosphere of heaven. That's what revival is. God coming down and bringing the atmosphere of heaven with Him to a place. And that's what happened in Capernaum. And the first evidence of it was His word was preached with power. Look at verse 32, please. He has spoken to them on the Sabbath, and it says in verse 32, they were astonished at His doctrine, for His word was with power. His word was with power. Here's the first token of Christ amongst us in a special way. That word astonished. And remember what I said earlier. You should ever look at every word. And you should seek to have at your disposal books that help you understand every word. You don't have to be an expert in Greek or in Hebrew. There are wonderful books. And indeed, if you own a computer, you only have to obtain without price the online Bible. And there you will have at your command a means of looking at every word in Scripture in its original meaning and not coming to an understanding of it that perhaps would be beyond just looking at it in the English. In this case, the word astonished means they were struck with a blow. They were struck with a blow. Oh, for preaching like that! Oh, for preaching like that. I can tell you that in many years of preaching, as I have looked down on the congregation, there was many a time I thought, I wish I could hit some of those people a bit of a thump and waken them up. Waken them up! But my thumps wouldn't be much good. I probably would get far more back, and that would be even worse. But oh, for God smiting us. That's what happened here. This was a spiritual blow. This was their heart struck by the power of God's word. Remember what Jeremiah said? Chapter 23, verse 29. And of course he was but repeating what the Lord said For God said, My word is a hammer that striketh the rock. A hammer blow. That's what these people felt. A hammer blow. They were astonished. They were shaken at the power of his word. God give us preaching like that again. God give us preaching like that again. That we might feel the weight of God's word. I weary today at the casualness there is toward the scriptures. Even amongst those who are supposed to be preachers of the scriptures. It can be joked about and lightly commented on, and there's no weight attached to it. Oh, but to give weight to God's word and to feel the weight of God's word, to honour the scripture. You know the word honour ever carries with it the meaning of weight. Weight. To give weight to something is to honour something. To feel the weight of God's word, the significance of God's word. That's what it means to honour it. So this was a day in which God's word began to be preached with power. Secondly, you will notice that it was a day in which there was an overthrowing of the devil. At the very time when the word was being preached with power, there was a reaction from one who was possessed of the devil. Verse 34. Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, Hold thy peace and come out of him. And when the devil had thrown him in the midst, he came out of him and hurt him not. Where did this happen? This happened in the synagogue. You can find the devil in the house of God. You can find the devil in the house of God. And you can hear the voice of the devil in the house of God. For here the devil is speaking. Oh, what a state of affairs has come about when the devil is to be found enthroned in power in the house of God and speaking in the house of God. And obviously in a position in which he defied others. For this is the voice of defiance that is to be heard. Remember, there hasn't been preaching in Israel now for hundreds of years. There hasn't been a prophet since Malachi until John the Baptist came along. And I think I'm right in saying that John really didn't preach in this part of Israel where the Savior is now. So here was the sounding of the voice of the Lord for the first time in this region for a long time. And when you get such an absence, you get the devil enthroned in high places. We ought to be ever conscious of the fact that it is ever the devil's intention, the devil's desire to push out the word of God and get in himself. That's what we're fighting. There's a battle goes on, as it were, at the threshold of the house of God to keep out the powers of darkness and the lies of Satan. And to keep in the pulpit and in the pew the truth of God's word going forth. But here, a day of the Lord has commenced. A day of power, a day of blessing. And one of the first things is the overthrowing of the devil. There's a liberating of one who has been held captive by him. That's what Christ's visit leads to. Of course, I believe you have here a foreshadowing of another great event. You only have to turn to Revelation chapter 20. And that will bring us, I believe, to the very end of this age. In Revelation chapter 20, we are told, I believe, of what will take place after Christ comes, after his return again to this world. And in Revelation 20 verse 1, And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand, and he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil, and Satan. Look at all those titles thrown in there. Why didn't God make do with just the devil? Or Satan? Or the serpent? Why a multiplying of titles? That's just in case you might make any mistake. God gives them all his titles, as it were, just to make sure you understand who it is God's dealing with here. And speaking of. He's speaking of the devil. And the devil on this occasion, we are told, is bound for 1,000 years and cast into the bottomless pit and shut him up. and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled, and after that he must be loosed a little season. That's an event, I believe, that will take place at the Saviour's return, a binding of the devil, so that he cannot deceive the nations. And there was a foreshadowing of that, that day in Capernaum, when, on a limited scale, there was a binding of the devil. And his ability, his power, his mission to deceive was curtailed. And he was cast out of this man. And this man was delivered from the power of the devil. That's what happens in a day of God's blessing. The word is preached with power, and those who have been held captive by the devil are delivered. Look around you. Look around you. Don't be harsh on the people around here because they don't come in. They don't come in because they're blinded. They don't come in because they're deceived. They don't come in because they're held captive. And not until the Lord opens their eyes, delivers them from the chains that binds them, will they ever show an interest in the gospel. I find it easy to understand why people, just like the folks about here, act the way they do, disinterested. Because I was like that one day. There was a time I was like that. I can remember walking past a little brethren gospel hall in a place called Malisle in County Down, along with 3 or 4 other lads. And it was a Sabbath evening. Not that we cared. Not that we even maybe thought that it was a Sabbath. We were just down in Malisle, enjoying ourselves. And as we walked past that hall, light was shining through from the inside out onto the path, and I can see the arc of the light shining on that path even now. And 2 men were standing in the doorway, and one of them shouted, "Hi lads, would you like to come into the meeting?" And I remember us stopping, looking over, looking at each other, and laughing. Go in there. Maybe even, and I'm thankful I can't remember this, shouting something that was most likely impolite back at those men and turning round and running off down the street. Go in there! Not likely. Not likely. No interest. Wouldn't even enter into my mind in the slightest way of going in there. Because I was a captive of the devil. I was a captive of the devil. I know what it's like. And I know why it is that people are in the state they're in. Around here and in many, many areas, not just in England, but throughout the whole of the United Kingdom and to a growing degree back home in Ulster. There was a time when we ran missions in Ulster, and when you gave out leaflets, people came in from all over. They came in on bicycles, they came in on tractors, they came in every form of vehicle. I don't quite remember a donkey being tied up, but maybe missed one. In every form of transport, people came along to meetings. Not now. Not now. Not now. I hear reports of missions. How did you get on? Well, we had good attendance from God's people. But we did have 6 people came in over the mission. Didn't have anybody see him, but we had 6 people came in. And that's counted a measure of success. How different it is. Same spirit is descending upon our country. Notice something else in a day of the Lord's blessing. Energy and strength is restored to believers. I'm pointing these out. These things all happened in one day. Preaching in the synagogue with power. The casting out of the devil from a man. And they set free. And it says in verse 38 that the Lord arose out of the synagogue and entered into Simon's house. And Simon's wife's mother was taken with a great fever, and they besought him for her. And he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. And immediately she arose and ministered unto them. It doesn't say, and immediately they got her up and set her down beside the fire in a great armchair and put nice rugs round her, and she sat there feeling much better. No, it doesn't say that. It says she got up out of bed and she ministered unto them. She went back to her household duties. Fit, strong, completely restored. Fit and active. He restored her strength And she immediately became active in her duties, and she ministered unto them, unto the Lord Jesus and his band of disciples. What a wonderful cure Christ works. Immediately she was active and labouring and toiling. That's what God can do, you know, in a day of blessing. Those who are feeling weak and sickly and not able to rise from their bed are immediately turned into objects of energy and activity. People who never were engaged in any aspect of God's work, but they always just came to God's house and they were lifted and led, they were ministered to, everybody else did the work but they did nothing, they just came looking for some little help. And off they went again till next week and came in for more. But on the day of blessing, God transformed them. Like Peter's mother-in-law, there was this wonderful, wonderful transformation. Wonderful transformation. How God can quicken his people and set them about working. Set them about working. I love this. You remember in the last chapter of Luke's Gospel, the two on the road to Emmaus? After the crucifixion, they're completely downcast. They're completely in despair. And I can just see them walking, shoulders hunched, head hanging. And they wouldn't have been in any way displaying any sprightliness. And the Savior drew near. And he spoke to them. And after it was revealed to them who he was, what a transformation. Look at what we read in the verse 33 of Luke chapter 24. What a transformation. And they arose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, "The Lord is risen indeed." They had been going away from Jerusalem because as far as they were concerned, the whole wonderful venture was over. It was done. Defeat had come. But having met with Christ and having had him revealed to them, as happened, you read there verse 31 of chapter 24 of Luke, "And their eyes were opened and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, 'Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures?'" It's the same marks. It's the same tokens. The word is coming to their hearts with power. And at the same time, there's an energizing of them. And they turn round and they race back to Jerusalem to burst in among the disciples and tell them the Lord is risen indeed. That's a mark of Christ's visitation. The word with power, a liberating from the devil, and an energizing, a re-energizing of the people of God. But furthermore, look at what ills and miseries of all kinds were banished from the region round about Capernaum. Now, as I said, and I cannot strive to emphasize this enough, we need to take note how easy it is for us when reading the Bible just to skip through it very quickly. No matter how we don't intend to do that, we can do that and miss so much. If you go back, please, to verse 40 of chapter 4 of Luke. "And when the sun was setting," so we're coming to the end of this wonderful day of the Lord's visitation. "When the sun was setting, all," now put some little mark there, "all, they that had any sick with divers diseases brought them unto him, and he laid his hands on every one." Now there's another word or two I want you to underline. "All, every one of them, and healed them," and healed them. "And devils also came out of many, crying out and saying, 'Thou art Christ, the Son of God.' And he, rebuking them, suffered them not to speak, for they knew that he was Christ." I'm telling you, I want you to think of the change that Christ's coming to Capernaum made. When everyone who had anyone who was sick brought them, and the Savior healed them all, so that You would have searched right around that whole region. I don't know how far it went out. Maybe 3 or 4 miles, maybe more. You wouldn't have found one sick person. Here were crippled, now no longer crippled. Blind, who now were seeing. Deaf, who were hearing. All sorts of injuries and maladies and illnesses and miseries delivered from. Imagine the joy there was in that place. Imagine the joy there was in that place. Do you imagine the lifting of burdens and distresses? I have known throughout my ministry people in whose home there is sickness. A sick child, born sick, born to a lifetime of sickness. And you've thought of the parents. And you have said, you know, it's like a life sentence for them. For they know the chances of their child ever being healed are very slim. Now imagine in the district where there would have been many such instances and the burden was all lifted. Imagine the joy there was among mothers and fathers, and not to mention those who had been sick being cured, the joy among them. This all happened in the day of the Lord, coming amongst them with power. Is it any wonder, men and women, that when they heard that the Saviour was about to leave them, as I said in reading out the verse 42, when it was day, that is the dawn of the next day, he departed and went into a desert place, and the people sought him and came unto him and stayed him. That is, they laid hold upon him and they said, please don't go away. Is it any wonder they did that? You know, in Ulster, we're letting the Lord go away. We're letting him go away. We're not holding on to his truths, his old doctrines, the things that he taught us. We're letting them drift. Letting worldliness come in. And when worldliness comes in, the Lord goes out. Oh, in a day when the Lord comes in our midst, how we should hold on to him. You know, my time is gone and I haven't really finished this text at all. What I will do, I think, is complete it tonight. But I hope that in what I have said, you have some indication of what it is like in a day when the Lord comes with power. That ought to give you incentive to pray for the Lord to come. What a change you could make. In one day, what a change you could make. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts and profit our souls through its preaching. Let us bow together, please, in prayer. I pray that in mercy thou wilt yet again show thy grace, show what thou canst do. Manifest yourself, Lord, we ask. And Lord, I pray you'll write the word we have heard today upon our hearts. And may we meditate upon it throughout this day and look even more closely at the chapter and the verses that we have considered. And may there awaken within our souls a longing for the Lord to visit with us. We ask it, knowing, O God, that thou art kindly disposed toward thy people and more ready to give than we are to ask. Now as we separate from thy house, Lord, keep thy hand upon us and help us to remember the Sabbath day and to keep it holy for Jesus' sake. Amen. And amen.